Acorns are dropping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fiery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature.
Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 93. Three poems for October. Wednesday, October 14th, 2015. I'm your host, Sarah. You can find me on social media as Sarah Pomegranate. The Yarns at Yin Hu podcast has a Facebook page, and it's available on iTunes. This week's episode includes the following segments: ever-expanding skill set, the back porch, the front porch, and off the shelf. Thanks to everyone who has introduced yourself on the welcome thread on the Yarns at Yin Hu Ravelry group. Our group has over 500 members, and I'm working on a 750 member goal. So please introduce yourself and let me know what you like about the podcast. I continue to work on enhancing the podcast with content that pleases our members, and it's nice to hear from folks about what they enjoy and what they're cooking, what they're knitting on, and new skills that they are developing. So many of you ask about my student crafters and how they're doing. This past week, we had the first meeting of String Theory, the knit and crochet club that meets at one of the high schools where I work. There were six new members, and we had a really great gathering. I had a donation of some hats for the Click for Babies charity. They were crocheted hats and generously contributed. I think there were maybe 30 or more than 30 hats, but they all needed the ends tucked in. And so quite a big group of students offered their services in weaving in ends. And this was something I had been thinking I needed to do. I kept putting it off, and within about 15 minutes, we had all the work done. And some of those students really didn't know how to tuck in ends, so it was a great tutorial for how to do that, and just so wonderful to see all that work at hand. Then we had quite a few of those students decide that they wanted to learn how to crochet, and some generous teachers offered to help them do that. So they picked out some yarn from our wonderful big yarn box of donations from the Fiber Fairy Godmothers, as I refer to folks who have generously sent along some contributions for the club. So there were some knitting going on, some crochet learning, and then one student was also working on a weaving project on the lap loom. So I look forward to continuing work with these students and updating you on their progress. Ever-expanding skill set. Last month, when we were talking about enhancing our lunch boxes for the hashtag Power Pantry cook-along, Kunstknit posted a recipe for some red pepper and sweet potato quesadillas. This was from a website called Eating Raw, and it's not a raw recipe, but I think it's intended to enhance some other raw eating. And I really wanted to try the recipe, but just in September, I didn't get a chance. So it's been on my list for October. And since sweet potatoes are a seller item, I decided I would give it a try. I've posted a link to the recipe, but I did alter my version a little bit. The recipe calls for roasted sweet potatoes. I also used some cannellini beans. And instead of making quesadillas with roasted red peppers, I added a few roasted red peppers to this spread. This can be a spread or a dip. I used it as a fantastic addition to some leftovers. A while back, I made an amazing, just amazing pulled pork, and there was quite a good quantity, so I put some of it in the freezer. I thought that I had used up all of it, but when I was going through my freezer to reorganize things, I found a small container. So using some wonderful corn tortillas, I put the spread on and some leftover pulled pork, and then just a sprinkling of cheese, shredded cheese, and made these really good quesadillas. So thank you, Kunstnet, for that suggestion of a recipe. I think that's something I will make again. I used it to dip some veggies at lunch. I used it to dip tortilla chips, and then I used it as a spread for sandwiches and for the quesadillas. So it's highly versatile. This month, the month of October, we're talking about cellar storage or alternatives to the cellar. I have a cellar, but I would not put food down there unless it were in jars, because this is an outside access only cellar and it's under a very small portion of our home, just the porch and the kitchen. So it's used for storage of tools and other equipment, and I do put some canned goods down there. But I store root vegetables. Some of them I store in my refrigerator drawer. I don't have a great deal of storage in my refrigerator, so I will also put things in a cool, dark space against an outside wall in a basket right in my kitchen. I often receive the gift of some sweet potatoes and potatoes and onions from my mother's garden, and I do like to cook with those things, so it's a great place to store them. Upcoming for hashtag Power Pantry, we have the rest of the month of October discussing cellar storage, and also what are some recipes that you use for items traditionally stored in the cellar. There was a great contribution about making sauerkraut, and I look forward to hearing more from Yarns at Yinhu listeners. In November, we'll be discussing the baking pantry. And in December, to conclude our hashtag Power Pantry cook along, we'll be talking about cooking for a certain number of people. So at my house, I cook for two. And occasionally, I cook for a crowd. But how many do you cook for at your house? And what are some strategies that you use to cook for that number of people? How do you handle leftovers? How do you plan make-ahead meals? How do you stretch a dollar for your cooking budget? We'll be talking about all of those things in December. The back porch. Over the past week, I completed my second version of the three-color cowl. This is quite a popular pattern by Hohe Locatelli. And for this version, I used a variety of scrap yarns in blue, green, gray, and then I have some pops of orange and yellow in this cowl. I really like the way it came out, and I enjoy the versatility of this pattern. Certainly, you can follow the pattern as specified and use three colors, but you can also use the variety of colors, and you can knit each section of the cowl depending on how much yarn you have available. I think it's a great on-the-go type of pattern, and the only drawback to this particular version is the amount of weaving in ends if you are using smaller bits of scrap yarn. I used a method that was described in one of the helpful tips provided by other knitters on Ravelry. I began with a US size 5 needle, and then gradually over the course of knitting the cowl, I switched to size 4 and then to size 3 to finish it up. And this results in a little bit wider cowl around the base, and then it gets a little more funnel shaped as you knit up. The change is gradual and subtle, so it's not anything dramatic that you would notice, but I feel that it helps give a little more structure to the cowl, and it also makes the knitting a little faster and a little easier than the smaller size needle suggested in the pattern. Again, that's the 3-color cashmere cowl, and that's patterned by Hohi Locatelli. On the front porch are several projects, and I need to get project pages and photographs going on Ravelry for all of these projects, but I have finally begun the Miranda pullover pattern. This is by Jose Paquin. It's a beautiful sweater with an optional hood, optional sleeve lengths, and has a gorgeous cable pattern going down the front. And you can put a pocket in the front under the cabling, sort of hoodie sweatshirt style. I am knitting this with yarn I purchased at the Battenkill Fiber Mill in Greenwich, New York. And I bought that on a trip that I made in April when the whole area was hosting a fiber tour event. The yarn is a Merino Romney blend in beautiful gray. I bought 900 yards, and I wish I had bought a fourth skein of this yarn, because I'm a little uncertain now if I will have enough to do the pocket, the hood, and long sleeves, as my younger sister, Jessie, declared she would like. I offered my services to knit something chosen by the recipient for Christmas, and Jessie is not a very large person, so I wasn't initially concerned about having enough yarn, but now I wish I had a little bit more of a buffer. So we'll see how that turns out. I had completed, I think over the summer even, I did a swatch and decided on a US size 7 needle. It's a really pleasurable knitting experience on bamboo needles with this beautiful, undyed, very natural yarn. And what I noticed in knitting and then washing the swatch is that the stitches soften and relax, and the density of the fiber really fills in for a warm and cozy pullover. Right now, I am still working on the first few stages of the pattern. I've started the cabling, which is a lot of fun, and the rest of it is in stockinette. So I'm working on the yoke area, and soon I will be separating for the sleeves and then knitting down the body of this sweater. I've also begun a project that I've wanted to do for a while, which is a set of a hat and cowl and some kind of mitts. I have some additional yarn from Battenkill Fiber Mill that's sort of a muted and variegated DK weight yarn that I'm reserving for the cowl. And right now I'm working on the hat. I've selected a pattern called Bushwalk Beanie, and I love this little design by Amy Vandelaar. It hasn't been made by very many knitters, and I don't know why, because it has this gorgeous fern fronds pattern. And my intention is to knit this hat pretty much as specified by the pattern, and then to use that fern fronds design for a cowl knit at a larger gauge and in DK weight yarn, and then to knit a pair of mitts. So for the hat and the mitts, I have some beautiful yarn from Dirty Water Dye Works. It's in a gorgeous sort of brown purple color. It's a fingering weight yarn. I believe the yarn is called Mavis. It's a merino nylon blend. And I'm hoping that I can work my way through making adjustments to the fern fronds lace design so that it will echo on the cowl and on a pair of mitts. I haven't thought about a pattern for the mitts. I think I will need some sort of base pattern to work from and then apply that lace design just to the back of the hand. But for the cowl, I think I can go out on my own and sort of do a swatch with the DK weight and figure out what I want to do for that cowl and if I want it to be just sort of a funnel shaped or if I want to make it longer and then loop it twice around the neck. I began the bushwalk beanie with some cashmere yarn. I've been wanting for so long to knit with this yarn. I bought it at St. Mary's on the Hill when I visited with my pen pal Fernanda in April for the farm and fiber tour in Washington County, New York. The nuns at St. Mary's on the Hill raise cashmere goats, and I had purchased some of their yarn before to make a lining for a hat for Samuel. And when I did that, I promised myself that at the first opportunity, I would buy an additional ounce of this gorgeous cashmere and make a lining for a hat for myself. So this yarn is undyed. It's in just a really beautiful brown color. It's nearly a lace weight yarn, so 200 yards in 1 ounce, and I was holding it double to knit. I started with a tubular cast on, knit an inch or so of ribbing, and then just went to stockinette. And then when I was nearly finished with that cashmere, I knit a purl row and then one row of 1x1 ribbing. And that took me straight into the Dirty Water Dye Works yarn. And I continued the ribbing as called for by Amy Vandeleur's pattern. Now I'm knitting the gorgeous fern lace, and I really like Amy Vandeleur's pattern. It's clearly written, easy to follow. I love the way the lace is coming out, and I really just like the satisfaction of knitting the lace and understanding how the lace works, how one row builds upon another. It's a simple 4-row repeat. So there's a wonderful rhythm to it. And this is a project that I will be taking with me to knit on while I'm in Rhinebeck. So I'm really looking forward to how this pattern turns out and how to continue with this set. I've knit such a variety of things for myself, but I thought that a nice hat, cowl, and mitt set would keep me from looking so disorganized and disheveled with my knitting as I sometimes do, and that for more formal occasions or to wear to work, this would be a lovely combination. And it's in really nice muted colors, so I think it will go well with my coat and just be something sort of a go with everything kind of set. And I've also decided to cast on for a Halloween costume, which will consist of a wig. That's all. I'm knitting the Hallow Wig. This is a pattern from Knitty, and it's a ribbed wig. I've chosen a very bright fuchsia pink. And if I'm able to complete it and I have the nerve, I think I will wear it to work for Halloween. I will also be taking this project with me because I think it's an easy thing to work on while I'm on the road in Rhinebeck. So once again, the three patterns I mentioned are the Miranda Pullover by Jose Paquin, Bushwalk Beanie by Amy Vandalar, and the Hallowig by Megan Reardon. Off the Shelf. I've been reading quite a bit of poetry over the past week or so. I really enjoy seasonal poetry and settling into the change of seasons with some poems that capture the feeling and the atmosphere of everything that happens and just all of the changes that happens as one season folds into another. And so I thought I would share some new-to-me poems. I have linked all of these on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com, and they're all found on the Poetry Foundation website. I think one of them even has an audio from the poet. So if you'd like to explore further, you can certainly do that. The Poetry Foundation website is highly searchable, and so you can click on poems for fall, poems for summer, and easily gain access to a wide array of things that have already been pre-selected, so you don't have to hunt around that much. I hope you enjoy these and that maybe they become part of your most loved collection or something you turn to at this time of year. The first of these poems is Raking Near the Great Works by Megan Grumbling. October, and the leaves turned late but strong. Rock maples and the reds, clear brazen, blaze long burning feats of sugar through our ways. Their strident hold upon the back roads pulls our morning drive out to where Oak Woods Road crosses the river that they call Great Works. The nearby fields so rich it's hard to breathe. The hay treacly with auburn, grasses bronzed. We stop before a red farmhouse, just shy of where the river runs, where maple trees have laid the front lawns ravished with their loss. From Booker's truck we pull out sacks and tools, proceed to gather up the autumn spoils. He holds each big bag open, and I rake the broad red leaves together and inside. The crop is so much greater than our work could ever capture, even as we press in it right close to fill October's urge, but we have cleared a windfall just the same. A clarity the season's morning hues and our sweet chore have worked an art of fall. As autumn and the great works trickle by, we skim as much brimmed crimson as these few stout bags will hold within, enough to lay 4 inches of the fall upon his fields. October's task has raked the colors high. To turn them in, the soil to bed with yield, is just as good as planting winter rye. And here's a poem on a similar theme of raking leaves. It's by David Baker. Neighbors in October. All afternoon, his tractor pulls a flat wagon with bales to the barn, then back to the waiting, chopped field. It trails a feather of smoke. Down the block, we bend with the season. Shoes to polish for a big game. Storm windows to batten or to patch. And how like a field is the whole sky now that the maples have shed their leaves too. It makes us believers, stationed in groups, leaning on rakes, looking into space. We rub blisters over billows of leaf smoke, or stand alone, bagging gold for days to come. And finally, a poem by Diane Glancy, Indian Summer. There's a farm auction up the road. Wind has its bid in for the leaves. Already bugs flurry the headlights between cornfields at night. If this world were permanent, I could dance full as the squaw dress on the clothesline. I would not see winter in the square of white yard light on the wall. But something tugs at me. The world is at a loss, and I am part of it, migrating daily. Everything is up for grabs, like a box of farm tools broken open. I hear the spirits often in the garden and along the shore of corn. I know this place is not mine. I hear them up the road again. This world is a horizon, an open sea. Behind the house, the white iceberg of the barn. Well, thank you for joining me today. I'm very much looking forward to my visit to the New York Sheep and Wool Festival in Rhinebeck, New York. And so excited that I'll be spending the entire weekend at the festival, seeing friends, and especially hanging out with Mary Beth. In the previous episode, episode 92, I talk a little bit about my itinerary plans, and I will be dedicating quite a bit of time to the Fibercraft studio booth in the Horticultural Building on the Dutchess County Fairgrounds. I'll also be certainly taking part in the podcaster meetup. I would like to say hello to some of my favorite podcasters, and I'm certainly interested in meeting anyone who would like to say hello and who's been listening to the Yarns at Yinhu podcast. I'll have buttons to hand out to listeners. I'll be wearing all weekend a field bag printed with the logo for this podcast, Yarns at Yinhu, so that will make me easy to spot. And I'll also be wearing my rusted wing shawl design, so if you'd like to see it knit up in person, you can certainly do that. And my plan is also to be wearing hand-sewn and hand-knit clothing each day. I haven't decided on what exactly I'll be bringing. I think I'll take a look at the weather forecast before I pack, but I think at least one of the days I'll be wearing a staple dress, and I'm really proud to be wearing clothes that I've made myself. In fact, now that I've started this goal of a handmade or mostly handmade wardrobe, I find that I really only want to wear things that I've made myself, which at this point makes a very limited wardrobe, but it does motivate me to work on some additional sewing projects as time allows. As for my shopping list at Rhinebeck, I keep going over it a little bit in my mind. Definitely books are on my list, and holiday gifts for family and friends. As for myself, I may be doing some fleece shopping or talking to some folks who have fleeces on offer and maybe arranging for one later in the spring. I think that it's pretty clear my Shackleton project should be to wash and card and spin my own yarn and then knit a garment from that. It's something I've never done. I've done many parts of that process, but never all as one project. So it's become increasingly clear to me that the obvious answer to the Shackleton Cal is really to go from fleece to finished garment, one fleece to finished garment. And that may involve some hand dyeing, maybe not. I don't know. I think it would depend on the kind of fleece I select and the properties and colors of the fiber that's there. But I'll definitely be doing some exploration along those lines. I plan also to become a subscriber to Pom Pom Quarterly. I've heard so much about it. I very much enjoy the Pomcast. I'm eager to meet the folks who will be there promoting their magazine, and I believe I will become a subscriber over the course of the weekend. Other than that, I'm not really sure about what my purchases will be. There aren't a lot of things I need. I think I'm more in the mood to meet people, talk to people, and examine things that maybe I'll be in the market to purchase later on. It's nice to have a clear idea of colors and textures and fibers for future yarn purchases and to have seen these things in person. But for me, I think this trip will be mostly about the experience and the people. I don't want to be too distracted with a shopping list. Although if something really wows me, I may indeed make a purchase. I look forward to seeing many of you listeners and meeting you at the New York Sheep and Wool Festival and to telling you about my experience in episode 94.
Acorns are dropping off my Jenny's house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fiery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Leaves her down like a lady, waiting for a naked man. River bends like an elbow, turning stone to sand. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Sycamore trees are blazing like a rainbow fire. Just like Lena Kurtz sings, burn out on a wire. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Thanks for listening. Music for this episode is So Wheat. Music and lyrics by Samuel St. Thomas, performed by Krista Long and Cesar Diaz. If you enjoyed today's episode, I hope you will consider liking the show's Facebook page, joining the Yarns at Yin Hu group on Ravelry, or leaving a star rating or a review on iTunes. Eat well and stay strong as you hone your post-apocalyptic skill set this week.
It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature.